It is the Tuesday morning show. Now we're going to find out. We've got an interview coming up about a lake in our region. It's a special lake to me. It's a lake I grew up on, North Long Lake, and there is a monster there that's threatening the residents of North Long Lake. Last October, on Friday the 13th, a monster bog broke off and began drifting around North Long Lake of Brainerd. It's not unusual for bogs to break loose, but this one is huge. It weighs 4,000 tons. It's 8 million pounds. It's about 4 acres in size. It's made up of muck and plants like bulrushes and tamarack trees. Before settling near Legionville Beach on the east side of the lake, the bog took out some docks and boat lifts, and it threatened other shoreline habitat and property. The beach is owned by the Brainerd American Legion. The Legion had to cancel its annual safety camp for 600 kids because the bog poses a safety hazard. Last month, more than 36 volunteers hooked a flotilla of boats with thousands of horsepower to the bog, but it didn't budge. Or you might say their efforts got bogged down. They did make some progress in removing the bog last weekend, and we are excited because we not only get to talk to Bill Schmidt, who's president of the North Long Lake Association, but also Kevin Martini, the DNR aquatic plant management specialist. He's been working with the North Long Lake volunteers to break up and move this big breakaway bog. Kevin, Bill, thank you so much for being with us to talk about your monster.
Oh, you're very welcome. Hey, good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Kevin.
Gentlemen, as an introduction, this is John Latimer. I live on a little lake called Crooked, and we have little batches of floating bog that are constantly moving around. My son one year gave me a book of blank pages for drawing maps, and I told him this lake was a cartographer's dream because the shoreline changed every week. And for the first time in 37 years, the bog's floating parts have all gone to the other end of the lake, and I have open water for a change. So I know whereof you speak, but I have no 4,000-ton bog in front of my place, fortunately. This really is kind of an intractable problem. I mean, if you get rid of it, it's going somewhere. I mean, it's going to end up, somebody else is going to inherit it. How do you deal with that?
Well, I'll go first here. This is Bill Schmidt. And that was the concern we had with something this large. It was already doing a lot of destruction, and so it has to be contained. And our thoughts at that time and still are at this time is the best thing we can do is try to get it back very close to where it came out of, or a shoreline where it's a very safe place, and get it anchored back on shore permanently for a long time so it can re-anchor and become part of the lake again, and at the same time, make sure that as we anchor it, that it will not come back out again. So that is the process. So,
on my lake, what happened was the beaver actually dammed up the lake, and they come periodically when the aspens regrow. They come back to harvest the aspens. They raised the water level, and that started these things moving around. Is something like that happened there, or how did this unconnect from the ground to begin with?
It did. Last year, we had a tremendous amount of rain. The last 2 years, we've actually had very high rainfalls. And in August into September last year, the lake level was the highest it's been at recorded history.
Wow.
And then come into October, we had huge rain. And so we had a lot of water rushing out through a little creek area where this bog came out of, and kind of underwashed some of the soil. And at the same time, with a very high lake level and the winds, it just raised this bog to a point where it broke loose, and then the winds just started moving it out and around.
Can we talk a little bit about what's underneath? I mean, if this thing were floating around in the middle of the lake and you were able to go out there with scuba and swim under it, what would you find under there? How thick is the root mass? What is it like?
Kevin, you want to take that one?
Yeah, sure. You kind of hit on it. It's a big root mass. Like I said, cattails, a lot of sedges. On this one, we have a lot of tamarack trees, you know, and some of those were probably 25 feet tall and, you know, probably 4 inches in diameter. So, I mean, there'd been a lot of years growing in that where it was located for them to get that size. So I would say where the vegetation, like the sedges and cattails and stuff, it's probably only 18 inches thick, something like that. Where the trees were growing in the center, then you probably get a little bit thicker because there's more of a root mass there from the trees. And you might get up to 4 feet, but for the most part, I'd say it averages, 18 to 24 inches thick, throughout the whole thing. So, and all those roots are very buoyant, and that's what floats it up. There's some soil, obviously attached in there, but it's mainly root mass. I mean, when we cut this thing with a chainsaw, we had a 24-inch bar, and that's how we ended up kind of cutting this into pieces to move it. When you see where that cut is, it's probably 80% root. Most of these plants can get their nutrients from the water, and they don't need a lot of soil. You just see a lot of roots. That's kind of what it's made of.
Can you tell us more? So what you did do to budge this bog forward or get move along?
Originally, the intent was to get a lot of large boats with some large motors and pull the entire full bog and actually move it out, pivot it at 180 degrees to the east, and then push it back up to shoreline and anchor it. When we attempted to do that, and we had several large boats with 300 horsepower engines, we could not budge it. It didn't move. And then we decided that we had to cut it down to smaller pieces, and we actually cut it into thirds, basically. And also, our intention was at that point was to open up the beach area and move that part of it out first. So after cutting it into three pieces, we tried to move even one of those sections, and we were unsuccessful. So we took that center section, and we cut that into basically four pieces, of which it ended up kind of being three, the whole tree line, and then two of the bulrush weed mass was behind that. And in doing so, we still had a couple attempts of trying to move that out. We were unsuccessful until Sunday, when we got boats behind it to push and boats in front of it to pull. And by keeping a steady tension on it for a period of time, it started to slowly begin to move out. And that's how we moved all three sections of it out then.
We're talking with Bill Schmidt. He's the president of the North Long Lake Association. Also, Kevin Martini, DNR Aquatic Plant Management Specialist. Bill, do you live on the Merrifield Bay of North Long?
I live on the larger portion of the lake.
Okay.
Not in the bay, but on the larger lake.
Are there a lot of boats, a lot of people coming to look at this? It's getting statewide coverage, your monster out there.
I couldn't give you a number of how many boats go by there and look at it and purposely come, but I am aware of a lot of people that have just come to the lake to look at the bog, absolutely. And I've had calls of people that would say, where is it, so they could come and visit the bog, but I don't know the number.
Hi, Bill, Kevin, this is Harry Hutchinson. I was interested in how, John does his phrenology show, and historically, where has this been? I mean, how long has this been, this bog floating around? Has this been 100 years, 20 years? Do we have any historical record about it?
This particular bog?
Yes.
This bog actually just came loose last fall. That's the first time it had ever broken loose. Historically, we have lakes in our area that are known for a boggy shoreline, and when waters get high, we get a lot of, I issue quite a few permits every year for floating bogs. The reason this one got such press from around the country is the size of it. We've just never had anything of this magnitude. I mean, four and a half acres of land mass, I mean, that's bigger than most people's property. So when you think about that, I mean, that's 4.5 acres. That's a big chunk of land to move around. So historically, floating bogs have been around forever. This one is just making the news because of the size of it and then because of the efforts, we've put in to try to move this, for Legionville, so...
And the area that this bog came out of is kind of a very marshy, boggy area to begin with. It's not really solid land. And so as the lake levels rose considerably and the heavy rains and the wind, it broke loose. But it's been part of that shoreline for a very, very long part of time, but it hadn't been a floating bog that's been loose.
Yeah.
Wow. So, Kevin, tell us when it was anchored. And I know from experience that most plants don't like having their roots in water. They'd rather be just above the water. Were there roots that went down to the substrate, whatever that might have been, sand or more peat, or floating the thing up, did that sever the connection? Is that how that all came about?
Yeah. I mean, what happens is, when Bill said record high water levels, you know, it floats up and it starts to separate. It actually starts to rip this thing away from the bottom because all the plants are going to try to go, you know, root down into the soil at the bottom of the lake. And it was always aquatic. I mean, this was always aquatic vegetation. The tamarack trees, they can grow in some pretty wet soils. So, I mean, this was always aquatic. But when the water comes up, it starts to float that thing up and rip it up away from the bottom of the lake. And then when it gets too high, then what happens is that hinge where it connects to shore, there's just too much pressure from the buoyancy, and then it just literally rips it away from the shoreline. And the ironic thing is, this thing actually came from the Legionville property just, 400 yards to the east of where it ended up last fall when it floated in. So if the wind would have just been a little bit more in our favor and blown it just 200-300 yards to the east, none of this would have, we could have avoided a lot of work. And but, you know, it is what it is, and it came in where it came in. And, the people I've been working with, Bill and Randy from the American Legion, it's been a positive experience. There's been some frustrations. There's been some failures. But overall, I mean, it's been a community event. I mean, the number of volunteers that have shown up, it's kind of turned into almost a positive thing just because of all the people that have come together and worked together on this thing. So for that, I'm thankful. I mean, yeah, in hindsight, I wish we could have just, avoided this altogether. But it's actually been kind of a fun experience, and the people I've met, I mean, it's been incredible in that way. So I just want to thank all those people that have worked on this. So.
Yeah, I agree that whole community aspect must be really interesting and beneficial for the community, because people around the lake who may never have met otherwise will certainly be close friends. Remember how we put our boats to work on that bog? What will you do when you get it where you want it to be? How will you make sure that it doesn't come loose and go marauding again?
The plan that we have for that is once we get all of the pieces pushed back over against the shoreline, just down from where it is now, east of where it is now, then we're going to take large I-beams with cables on them and then pull it into shore with either some mechanical means. And then once we get it tugged tight against shore, we're going to take those cables and secure them against large trees that are up on shore, and then leave it re-root itself over time and become part of the natural place that where it belongs. So,
has anybody done a real releve on it, Kevin? Has anybody gone out and seen if there's maybe some dragon's mouth orchids or something growing on it?
No, we haven't actually been out and seen what, all this. I mean, there's many species of plants on there, but I mean, it's an important point. I mean, it is natural native vegetation that's part of the lake. I mean, there's a loon nest on one of the smaller pieces that we moved here a couple of weeks ago. There's actually a loon nest on it. So, I mean, the ducks have been nesting on it, the birds. I mean, so it does have value as habitat, and that's, I don't want to focus on that because our goal has been to get Legionville their beach back. I mean, we want them to have their beach back and have their camp back. And I mean, that's why we work so hard on this. But it is native natural habitat, and it is good for a lake. I mean, it's a positive thing to have in the lake. It's just unfortunate, like I said, that it blew into their beach. And, so that's why we've had to kind of put a lot of effort into this, because, again, Legionville is an important part of the community and their camps are important. And that's why we've worked so hard to try and move it, to get them, to have a camp back. So, and it's going to continue. There's going to be more work done out there. And, but yeah, it was nice to have that success last weekend and finally kind of say that we made significant progress, and that was a cool thing to be a part of. So,
Kevin, before Bill, go ahead.
And another important factor to this whole thing is that we do get it permanently anchored and secured permanently, because we don't want this thing floating around the lake, bouncing into other people's properties, destroying, you know, their docks, their lifts, and so forth. So that's also very important to the people on the lake as well as all the rest of the property owners. So, that's another part of why we want to really get this thing secured permanently.
We haven't mentioned it, but we've got a bunch of stakes in it right now. We've pushed it in as tight as we can get it with boats. It's touching the bottom, and we've got a bunch of wooden stakes in there. So it would take a tremendous wind to move it right now. I mean, like I said, we have done some, you know, major effort to make sure that it's not moving from even where we moved it now. But, you know, long term, we're going to even do a better job of making sure this thing doesn't move. So,
if you value a conversation like this about a lake in northern Minnesota, become a member now, 800-662-5799. Kevin, before we go, it sounds like the folks at North Long Lake have, you know, come together in this great community and have learned a lot about the plants and how important they are there. Can you say something about what we should be paying attention to on all of our lakes, about what the shorelines are all about?
Yeah. Thank you. It's a great question. The nearshore area around all of our lakes is the most important habitat in the lake. I mean, it filters everything coming into a lake, bulrush and cattails and lily pads. I mean, it's a tremendous habitat for all kinds of not only fish, wildlife, and birds. And so, that nearshore area is what, you know, that's my job, is to try to get that across to people, that, you know, protect that nearshore area. And, you know, the law says everybody gets reasonable access to open water, and that's, we try to mitigate getting people access versus, you know, protecting the shoreline. So this is this balance between getting people that live on the lakes to limit what they're going to do, get their access, and then leave the rest of their shoreline natural, so that, you know, we can protect our lakes. I mean, we love our lakes. That's why we're living on them so much nowadays. But we also have to be careful that, you know, I always say we don't love them to death and start to make them into something that they weren't meant to be. They're a natural thing. And, you know, as a biologist, that's kind of what I want to teach people, is the shoreline is a very important part of that lake. So, that's my little soapbox, and, you know, that's kind of what, that's my goal, and what my job is, to try and get that out to people and to educate people. So, thank you.
You know, Heidi, I was just thinking that, we have this book, Stories from the Leopold Shack, and Ella Leopold was probably, well, I would say he is the first person to try and put together a community of people, and they were farmers on the Minnesota-Wisconsin border, and trying to make sure that the erosion problems down there in the Mississippi at that part were just horrific at the time in the 1930s. And he put together the farming community and got them together, and they fixed it, and they changed that land so well that today it's very, very productive. And it all started with a person like Leopold leading that group. And it looks like we have another situation here, and it's just so neat to see.
Yeah. Thanks for what you're doing, Bill and Kevin, and thanks for sharing your story today. We appreciate it.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you.
Yes, and thank you.
You're listening to the Tuesday Morning Show, where you get to hear stories not just about Aldo Leopold, but stories about bogs, monster bogs in Brainerd, and what area residents are doing to do something about it, because they don't want to, that camp is really important. That camp's been there forever, and for kids to be able to come out there and do that kind of stuff, but also not mess up the habitat there. How do they deal with it? So to see this kind of collaboration between scientists and people who live there is great.
Well, and a man like Kevin, you know, being involved, it gives him an opportunity. You got all these volunteers who want to help out. It gives him an opportunity to teach them a great deal about bogs, about the importance of shoreline and the importance of just aquatic culture in general. So yeah, great learning experience for all of them. I have to say, the idea of a 4,000 ton bog coming across the lake at your dock has got to be daunting. But not it's not like a tornado.
Right.
It's like, you know what,
iceberg. Hey,
it's yeah, it's coming this way. We should get down and take out our boat and our dock. And get ready for it.
Well, and in the last 3 years especially, there have been so many storms that have damaged the North Long Lake area. They've been hit with so many storms and things going on in their shoreline. And for this to go on too, and it's a 14-mile long lake with two bays and a big part. And it's just, it's a great place in the Brainerd Lakes area. There's some resorts there, but it's kind of the quieter lake than, say, Gull.
Across the street,
or Cross Lake or that kind of thing. So cool to hear what's going on North Long Lake right now. If you appreciate this kind of conversation, if you put a value on it and you learn something, we need to hear from you this morning. Right, John Bauer? Call us right now, 800-662-5799.